This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Michael, you into Grandma Pie?
No.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
It's in Pompano Beach.
Mom!
Tom Thibo Diaw.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this a Tuesday evening. I'd like to start off, if I can, by saying good evening to Michael.
It's called buttercloth.
And then, if I can, I'd like to say good evening to Donald.
That was almost exasperation, not me.
It was exasperation.
There was a lot of condensation is what it was.
And condensation. Welcome, everybody. Hope everyone's doing well. We've been talking some about the New York Football Jets, I believe is the full way to say their name. Pretty sure.
No.
Anyways, you sure?
It's New York Football Giants.
Right.
It's the New York Jets.
Just the Jets. Got it.
Okay. You know why they used to say New York Football Giants, right?
Sure.
Because there was a baseball team called
right.
the Jets.
It was New York Baseball Giants.
Oh, that's right. Well, let's talk about the football Jets. And head coach Adam Gase, here he is on being 0-9.
Gave everything they had and, you know, just have a few mistakes that really cost us and cost us the game.
You know what struck me with a lot of his comments yesterday? I wonder if it struck you, Don, like I'd like to strike you. But he kept saying they really played well. They did? Aren't you part of it?
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm not sure what the angle is on that. It's just that's the way he talks.
Well, unless he said, I've never heard him say they, unless he's starting to separate himself from the disaster that he's caused. You don't say they played really hard. We played really hard.
That is unusual.
Hmm.
Is that something? Are we reaching there? Or is
I think so. That's what I do. That's what nice guys don't do.
But you really get the gems when you reach. So I think Michael's on to something here. Or is it just that, hey, players play, coaches coach, that kind of deal, you know?
But I've always heard coaches say we.
Yeah. Well, I guess maybe it's just the semantics that he likes.
But I've never heard him say they before. I listen for that sort of stuff because I like to catch people.
When you're vindictive and
booze.
Right, and you're a mean guy. So as part of the whole, you know, meanness. Let's hear from Cam Newton on how he's feeling after the big comeback win.
Well, a game like this, well, the last couple of games, it kind of builds character. And we did a great job with situational football, trailing at halftime, but just being resilient and, you know, just battling back as an offense, being able to still run the football, keeping everything within the wheelhouse of this offense. And, you know, for us to turn the opportunities into points is something that we've been harping on and working on all year. And for it to just show off today was just good. We just got to keep building on it.
He had to feel good. You could see the sense of relief the second that game ended, right?
Yeah.
Because he's interesting. Like, is it me, guys, or does he just not? There was a time when he really seemed to love the game when he played, and you don't see a lot of joy from Cam when he plays anymore. Do you notice that?
Well, he's got his hat in his hand now, and it's a gorgeous hat, by the way.
It's always a gorgeous, expensive hat.
But he knows he's auditioning. I mean, I think he went to New England figuring I'm going to be with the best coach in football, I'm going to play lights out, and then I'm going to be able to parlay that into getting back in the league with a big contract. And now we're halfway through the season, guys, and I don't see how that's going to happen. Unless he just explodes down the stretch here in the final eight games, because they're 3-5, he's probably really going to work hard to be a starting quarterback in this league again. His next contract might be just to be a backup and go to preseason and hope to win a job. Because he has not played great at all. Even last night, there were moments where he had a touchdown. He overthrew it by almost 10 yards, right? When they were down 7, like there was separation. The defensive back fell down. He completely missed him.
And to
it's
me,
slipping in the backfield. I know there's a lot of guys slipping and sliding, but
we talked about this recently. How the mental thing is something that players seem to be more embarrassed to talk about than physical.
Sure,
but to me, it's mental with Cam. I don't think this is because he's broken. There's, and that's why I'm tying it into the lack of fun he seems to be having when he's playing, too. I get it. New England's not the place where he's going to do the Superman and everything else he used to do. But there's something about, there's a joylessness to the way Cam plays right now.
Huh.
He's so in his own head.
Is it possible to have fun at something and you're not confident? I don't know how that works. If you lack confidence, how can you have fun?
So, I mean, maybe if he gets on a roll, we'll start to see him having fun.
But you know what's unfair about this? We were all raving about him the first two games. The guy had COVID. There are people that are still, maybe he had some long-term COVID. Who knows? Maybe he's not feeling great.
All right, but you could still.
Because he was really good the first two games.
I understand, but Peter's right. Then he should be telling himself that, and it should gain confidence. Like, hey, I had COVID, and I'm still playing. But you could see it's affected him. So whether it's the COVID, the lack of playing well, it does not play with any joy, any confidence, and the clock's ticking. Because unless he starts to play better, Michael, who's going to make him a starting quarterback next year?
Oh, he won't get a chance. He'll have to be a backup somewhere. He'll be Joe Flacco.
Let's hear from Coach Belichick on WEEI earlier and his feelings about his history with the Jets and not staying here.
One of the not only most defining, but you know, one of the great moments of my career, and that combined with you know, Robert giving me the opportunity to come here, I mean, I couldn't have asked for anything more. So it's just, that wasn't a good situation for me, and I didn't want to be part of it, so I wasn't.
So when he said I resign as the HC of the NYJ, that was one of the greatest moments of his career.
That's what he said.
Wow,
you tell him, real. Yeah, Bear, what do you think, dude?
All right.
But Michael, you have to appreciate that level of vindictiveness and holding on to that.
I mean,
what I've never understood, and maybe Don was around them a lot more, how did he know that Woody Johnson was going to be a lousy owner? He had no interaction with the guy. How did he know?
I don't know. There was something about it. But yeah, it's clear, though, that it was the right thing to do. Does he accomplish anywhere near what he accomplished if he stayed with the Jets? I mean, he might have made the Jets great. Would he have done that? He would have never had Brady. So, yeah, I think the Jets would have been way better off the last 20 years if Belichick had been their coach. But is he looked upon as the greatest coach of all time? Would he have gotten 20 years? And he fell into a perfect situation. So I don't think it's nice for him to say it, but it's factual.
Now, when you talk about the Jets, you now have to talk about Trevor Lawrence, because as this thing continues, the odds statistically and probably Vegas-wise go up every week that he will be a Jet. Let's hear more.
Before you do that, is it definite that Jacksonville's got the tiebreaker?
It can change.
It depends on how everybody plays the rest of the way.
Right.
So.
Yeah, there's still several football games here left here, Don. Let's hear from Trevor Lawrence on, has anything changed on him deciding for the draft? Declaring.
My mindset is the same, and I really don't want to talk about it anymore, honestly. I'm just trying to enjoy my last whatever few months here, if that's what it's going to be. So whatever I decide to do, you guys will know in January or February. So just I'm just trying to enjoy it, and obviously I'm not trying to make a stir. I don't want any more people talking about me than they already are, so... my thing is, I'm just never going to corner myself to where I have to do something just because of something I said in the past. So I'm leaving the door open for all my options.
Smart. He's leaving. Don't worry about it.
Is that just because, let's take the Jets out of it, is that because he wants to tease the fans? I might come back here. Because then that's not good. You don't want to tease the fans to think that something may happen that's not actually going to happen. Is it just that, hey, I'm scared to go and play for the Jets?
I don't know. This is a more important question, I think. Do you guys think that his hair is lush and beautiful or kind of repug?
I would lean toward repug.
I'm with Michael. I think it's repug.
It's really not that much different than Spicoli.
Yeah, but would you hang with Spicoli?
I don't know. All I did was smoke weed.
The last 20 seconds was a drop. RJ, real quick, I'm going to say this right now. This is one of the biggest takes you'll hear anyone in the sports media make on Trevor Lawrence.
I love
because
it.
I'm the kind of hard-hitting journalist who's willing to say the truth.
You know, that's what everybody says about you.
If Trevor Lawrence was not quarterback of Clemson and a great quarterback, I believe he would be a virgin until he was 40.
It's a ridiculous statement. Ridiculous. It might be a hot take. It's a dumb take.
His nickname would be Booger. His nickname would be Booger, and he'd work at a truck stop, and we'd never think about Trevor Lawrence.
The nudes are back.
But guess what? He's a breathtaking football player, and his life is completely different. But I'm saying that hair, there's something about it. It's virgin hair. It's not what you want.
Like, there's a kid that's got long hair in Billy Madison. Remember when Billy sits down, I forget what grade it was, and they're talking about, you know, here come the wedgies. There's a kid that's got that kind of long hair that's a complete nerd. You know what I'm talking about?
In Billy Madison?
In Billy Madison. That's what Trevor Lawrence is. I think you're right. If he didn't play football, complete nerd.
I think it's a long road for him. But guess what? He happens to be 6'6" and can throw the football a mile.
He plays football.
He shouldn't be offended. This is okay. Trust me. If I wasn't able to talk, I'd be hanging out with him at the truck stop. So we all have our thing. I'm just saying.
Did you guys see the Jamal Adams stuff?
No, please, Michael. Take the helm.
In a Pro Football Focus made a list of the best safeties in football. There are 82 of them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Off his play with Seattle this year, he is 77th on that list.
You know, it's something we have not talked about.
His argument with Pete Carroll?
Well, and in how horrifying the Seattle defense is, we haven't mentioned their biggest acquisition has been a dud.
Mm-hmm.
77?
77 out of 82, Pro Football Focus.
Well, he's
Where's Marcus May?
I didn't see the whole list. I just saw Jamal.
I'm not going to look at that because where May is important, right?
Super. That's interesting. I mean, wow.
I thought that would enliven ENN.
That was very good stuff by
Pro Football Focus can be a little Tonka truck, to be honest with you.
Well, for sure. They can definitely be Tonka truck, but Michael just delivered.
But
Michael,
it's not pro football out of focus. They're trying to focus you.
That's exactly right. Michael, for that information you just brought to the table, I'd like to hire you as a correspondent for ENN.
No, just bump me up on the nice list.
No, I can't do that.
So Santa didn't like me either. But I'm not naughty. But I'm not nice.
He didn't think you were not. No.
But that doesn't make me naughty.
By the way, we talked to Santa. He's completely in lockstep with us.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he put it. Yep. That's how he put it. Did you find Marcus Maidon?
No, I'm still looking for Pro Football Focus.
All right, so take your time. Ben Roethlisberger was placed on the reserved COVID-19 list on Tuesday. Steelers are optimistic that he'll be available for the game against the Bungles on Sunday. Can't really call them the Bungles. Not too bad with Joe Burrow. It's Roethlisberger and three others who are all on the list after being deemed high risk because they were close contact with tight end Vance McDonald, who had a positive test on Monday. They'll be working remotely throughout the week, and you know what's going to happen. Pittsburgh will be favored by a lot on Sunday against Cincinnati, and they'll probably win by just under the spread.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Also, speaking of COVID news, the SEC has called off Alabama LSU. In the words of a great man, a wise man named Joe Girardi, it's not what you want. Alabama LSU called off. So was Texas A&M and Tennessee. All as a result of COVID-19 testing and depleting the rosters of the Tigers and the Aggies.
How are they gonna play enough games in this season? The COVID numbers are skyrocketing around the country.
Hold on, can we just be honest, guys? Let's just all say what it is. College football, in terms of really being effective at telling you the best team is, has always been a joke. And the number one priority is not about determining the best team. It's about making money for rich people. And this year is going to be the poster child of why all three of us, on some level, I'm not saying you guys are completely simpatico with me, but all three of us believe that college football is basically a joke that's about money. And this year will be the ultimate poster child because there's no way, Michael, to your point, they're going to play enough games. You have a major conference like the Big Ten that starts 5 weeks after the SEC. It is a joke, and it is being so perfectly summed up by the way they're handling COVID.
And sooner or later, they're going to have to deal with basketball, too. I mean, this is not going away. It's just getting worse.
I wonder if the very nature of college football versus college basketball is going to make the basketball thing a whole different deal.
Well, all basketball has to do is get the tournament in.
Right.
That's all they have to do. That's where all their money is. Now, there's a lot of money in college football, obviously, in the playoffs, but the bottom line is...
How would they do that, though? How could you get to an NCAA tournament without a proper season?
They would have enough of a season that they... Or they could have a season where every single team makes the tournament.
They can't.
Oh, yeah, they could. There'd be 300-some-odd teams, and they just keep playing it down. That would be the year. That would be the year. And it would finish on CBS.
Because the hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars all come from March.
Most of them come. Obviously, you would, if you did that and you couldn't play a season, conference tournaments, which make a lot of money, they would be out. But they'd find a way to get those in. They'd get those in, and that would allow them to whittle it down to maybe 68 teams.
But Alabama, LSU, off. Let's move on, shall we?
Shall we?
Shall we?
Shall.
Speaking of college basketball... Duke's current plan is to play without fans at Cameron Indoor Stadium. When asked why that would be the plan, Duke responded, because unlike most colleges, we're actually smart.
Who was that quote attributed to?
Well, Coach K. He didn't say it, but let's be honest. Isn't that what Coach K is always saying with his eyes? He knows he's better, and in this case, he's right.
Wow, you giving love to Duke? What's happened to you?
I know.
You are nicer than me.
Coach K has been very on point on a lot of things recently. He's you know what? I've grown to have a little bit of affection for Coach K.
Do you like him better than Gary Williams?
How dare you?
I'm just asking.
No, I love Gary Williams. Ask me if I like it better than Mark Turgeon.
You like him better than Mark Turgeon?
Absolutely. The guy's a joke.
Ah, okay.
Hot takes.
Yeah, super hot takes. All right, guys. The Celtics have lost a legend. Tommy Heinsohn, player, coach, and beloved announcer, passed away earlier today. And, of course, everyone in Boston paying respects, politicians, athletes, Coach Brad Stevens tweeted, "Rest in peace, Tommy. You've meant so much to the six decades of Celtics fans that you've shared the game with as a Hall of Famer in every facet. An incredible person, teammate, and mentor." At last time I checked, Paul Pierce had only tweeted a teardrop emoji.
Russell also tweeted.
Who did?
Bill Russell was a rookie the same year as Heinsohn, and Heinsohn actually won the Rookie of the Year. And Bill Russell said, "In life, you don't have many best friends. I just lost one of mine."
Wow. Michael, you're the top correspondent I have on ENN. That was a great tweet you just delivered.
Thank you.
Jaylen Brown of the Celtics tweeted, "RIP Tommy Heinsohn, you were a joy to listen to and to learn from. My heart is heavy today." Did not get comments yet from Jason Tatum, Kevin Garnett. I was looking around, and they had not commented yet, but... I do have some classic moments because while Tommy Heinsohn's famous as being a player and a coach, and like Michael said, goes all the way back to the Bill Russell days, for people of my generation, he is, of course, known as a broadcaster. And, Don, when you want to talk about the all-time homers in the history of local broadcasting, let's just listen to some best of Tommy Heinsohn.
"You know, I'm getting so tired of these double technical fouls. This is like throwing candy to kids. This is awful. They just throw these out there like it's nothing. They can't make up their mind. And Bogut's still in the game.
Here's a little bit more of Tommy from the same game, I believe.
Believe me, this is going to happen during a regular season, and this is absolutely NBA. It's stupid.
For people of my age, he was a national broadcaster, Don. You remember Dick Stockton on CBS?
Yeah, sure was.
And, I mean, he's beloved in Boston. He'd give out Tommy points. Those were a big deal.
Yep.
He was so pro-Celtic. I mean, he was a Celtic through and through. So he is he's revered in Boston. That is going to sting in that great town. He is loved there. That's a big loss.
Can I contribute to ENN?
Sure. Please.
With breaking news?
What is... let me guess. Ryan Rucco is going on his honeymoon.
Congratulations to Donnie Baseball.
Don
National League Manager of the Year.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's
talking about.
Let's go with
Don! Greatest Yankee without a ring and now Manager of the Year. Love it.
You're a big
fan. Couldn't happen to a better guy. Could not happen to a better man.
By the way, last note on Tommy Heinsohn. As a player, okay, he was a six-time All-Star. He was the 1957 Rookie of the Year. He had four All-NBA second team recognitions. He retired in 65 with 12,000 points, nearly 6,000 rebounds. Then there was a three-year gap, and he coached the Celtics from 69 to 78, leading to titles in 74 and 76. He was Coach of the Year in 73 with a team that won 68 games. And he accumulated a coaching record of 427 and 263. Second most in Celtics history, trailing only, of course, Red Auerbach 795. But when you guys think about that, Don, you know I'm a big lister, right?
Oh, sure.
When you think about all-time contributors to a team and sport, Tommy Heinsohn's in the conversation. A Rookie of the Year who coaches multiple championships and then is voice of the team through all their next glory era?
He's not just a Rookie of the Year. He's a Rookie of the year that Bill Russell was a rookie.
Right.
The greatest winner in professional sports. That's a great American life.
And by the way, hold on. Leading scorer in four of the championship seasons of the Celtics.
Great player.
I mean, that's incredible. Multi-time champion as a player, multi-time as a coach, and then voice. That is rarefied air in sports. Rest in peace, Tommy Heinsohn. Tony La Russa not necessarily having one of the great moments of his managerial career. He has been charged with a DUI after an arrest in February. It happened in the Phoenix area. However, the case was not filed until October 28th, one day before he was officially hired by the White Sox. He was cited for a DUI and registered a blood alcohol content of 0.08, which is a misdemeanor. Second known drunk driving arrest for Tony La. In 2007, he pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor DUI in Florida. When reached by ESPN Monday night, La Russa said, "I have nothing to say," and hung up. A White Sox spokesperson said that the organization was aware of the incident but would not comment further since the case was active. So obviously, Michael, that's odd. They knew about this when they hired him. They hired him the next day. But this is not a great look for the new White Sox manager.
Now, after the 2007 DUI, he said in a statement, "I accept full responsibility for my conduct and assure everyone that I've learned a very valuable lesson, and this will never occur again." I've been checking with some baseball people. They don't think there's any chance the White Sox will fire. That's how loyal Jerry Reinsdorf is.
All right. So as I said earlier in the show, God forbid he does this again and kills someone. How do the White Sox get up from it? Well, the team's not going to fold, but just like how that's a tough
spot. Awful. And this is, I got to tell you guys, I know he's a great manager, I don't know the man personally. Collecting DUIs still at 76 is not a great look.
If I'm Jerry Reinsdorf, you know what I do? It's like, give me your driver's license. Cut it in half and say, listen, you're never driving again. We'll get you a car service to get you up for the home games. You're not driving anymore. If I catch you behind the wheel of a car, you're fired.
Don, what do you think about that? That's a great idea. And you could say that.
I just don't understand how anybody who's wealthy gets behind the wheel of a car drunk. I mean, you have the money to at the least get an Uber.
Here's what happens, and this is my guess. I have no information, obviously. Yeah, he's probably been in the Arizona area for a while now. He probably figures, I know all the cops. He probably doesn't think he's drunk. It's one of those situations where he thinks he's fine. Obviously, that's no excuse. And there's been probably times where he's been a little, buzzed, and they see it's Tony, and they just follow him home, and he's okay. And he ran into a cop that wasn't going to buy it.
I have a quiz for both of you that could win you $100.
Okay.
Don Mattingly is only the fifth person to win an MVP and a Manager of the Year. If you can name me two of the other four, you get yourself a crisp $100 bill.
Pete Rose.
Wrong.
So it's obviously got to be somebody that was very good.
I like that story.
What a detective.
No.
Wait a minute.
You're right.
I'm just saying.
Regular Dick Tracy.
Because a lot of great managers are not known for being great players. But then, so you think of the great players that became managers. Ted Williams didn't win Manager of the Year. So he's off. God, it's a great...
Why I'm giving $100 out. Also, the people that run... While you're thinking of this, the people that... This is a great ENN thing. The people that run team Twitter sites, I mean, are they 11? So the Miami Marlins put out Donnie Baseball, MOTY, Manager of the Year. Okay, that's great. They have a big graphic and everything. And then they go, so illustrious, they name the whole sport after him. And they spelled illustrious so wrong that it's unbelievable.
What about Yogi?
No.
Neither?
No.
It's a good poll, though.
Oh, he was a three-time MVP, but he was not a Manager of the Year.
Got it.
But it's a good poll. He was the manager of the 73
Okay,
Mets.
A good try. Are we giving out participation trophies or $100 bills?
I'm just saying, it's a good poll.
Thanks, Don. You're nice.
Better than my...
Okay, hey, Don. Hey, Don, you know what? That was really nice. Terrible.
And Manager of the Year in 89 with Baltimore.
Terrible.
Don Baylor, 79 with the Angels. And 95 Manager of the Year with the Rocks. Mm. This one you'll kick yourself for. Joe Torre won the MVP in 71 with the Cardinals. Won two Manager of the Year with the Yankees, 96 and 98. And this one was tough. Kirk Gibson won the MVP with the Dodgers. Was Manager of the Year with the Diamondbacks in 2011.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
Five. All very gettable, Michael. That's a bad job.
Some people have weighed in on the important subject of Trevor Lawrence's hair. Big Mars said, what you said about Trevor Lawrence's hair, I wholeheartedly feel applies to Russell Wilson. Couldn't agree with you more. I think everyone agrees. Shining Wizards Kevin says, virgin hair is the title of Trevor Lawrence's sixth book.
Dominic said, sounds like Peter is jealous of Lawrence's long hair.
No.
It's just an observation.
Buddha Zhang said, Michael K., not the meanest, not the nicest, just the realest, it seems.
What?
No.
The realest.
No.
How are you more real than me?
I'm very real.
I'm real to a fault.
All right.
Can't help but be real.
I don't think I have the drop available, but I do have a Tiger Watch, which I think
So, Tiger, how did you play today?
Well, got off to kind of a slow start.
Do you feel like you're back to win at this level?
Yeah, I do, because I just did it.
Well, guys, Tiger Woods back at Augusta.
Don't care.
And rearing to go. And he was asked about winning the Masters last year and the emotions that came from that moment.
I mean, I'm still getting chills just thinking about it. Feelings, you know, coming up 18 and knowing that all I had to do is just two-putt that little 15-footer and, you know, see my family there and my mom and my kids and all the people that helped support me or were there for me during the tough times. And I was walking up there just trying not to lose it and say, hey, I still got to two-putt this. And then when I walked off the back of the green, you know, to see Charlie there and just open up our arms, and it meant a lot to me, and it still does.
I'm not kidding. I got choked up just there. God, it's a beautiful moment. No bias in me. I'm a journalist. And also, speaking of the Masters, John Rahm, it's his birthday, by the way, today, was playing his practice round today at Augusta, and there's a tradition of trying to skip the ball across the water at 16. Rahm skipped the ball across the water and then had it roll in for a hole-in-one. If you're sitting in front of a Google machine or whatever it is, maybe use WebCrawler, MetaCrawler, Yahoo, Ask Jeeves, whatever it is, just type in John Rahm 16. It's spelled R-A-H-M, of course, and watch this shot.
Is that a Bible verse, John Rahm 16?
Rahm 16 says hole-in-one.
Thou shalt skip the ball over water.
Yeah. Look it up, though. It's seriously, short of Happy Gilmore, it's the craziest golf shot you'll ever see.
You got to admit, some of the spice was lifted after we found out it's like the fifth time it's happened.
Don, you notice I didn't mention that here in ENN, right?
Yeah.
I was leaving it out of the story because it's tremendous, but you're right. It absolutely took some of the starch out. That'll do it for ENN on this Tuesday evening in the Tri-State.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.